Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are doing the last episode of our introductory material of the Gospel of Mark. We've talked about kind of who Mark is, some structure and key ideas about the book itself, some of the suffering statements that we've been through. Now we're going to talk more about key words and key ideas and themes that run through the book itself before we get into a verse-by-verse study, or at least a story-by-story study of this gospel. So we'll start with these key words.
Okay, so we're going to begin with, it's, as I counted at least, it's the number one word, but there's three different words, if that makes sense. But they're kind of synonyms of each other. 99 times, now remember, this is a 16-chapter book, so 99 times you have sight words. One is used 51 times, and it is a word that would mean see or appear. One is used 32 times, which is a word that would mean see or look. And the third one is a word that's used 16 times that means to look for or to argue or to seek. All of these are sight words, and all three of these on their own, the way I would view it, would be key words on their own, much less the fact that they're basically synonymous ideas. So you put them all together, and 99 times in 16 chapters, it's sight. We mentioned the last episode about seeing and hearing and how those concepts are throughout the book in particular, but you see this right off the bat. What are you seeing when you see Jesus?
Yeah, you're looking at all these miracles and the actions that Jesus is taking. They saw what he did. They saw his healings. They saw, you know, all these supernatural events that proved who Jesus was, and it proved his message. You know, a huge part of miracles is proving that the message you're preaching is accurate and from the Lord. And so they saw the miracle, and so it confirmed for them what Jesus was saying, that it was true.
Yeah, and the idea of seeing is so relevant to the really the central theme to the book, but particularly when you get to the middle of the book. We talked about last time about how that end of chapter 8, beginning of chapter 9 is such a critical part of the book.
Yeah.
Chapter 8 and 9 is where these sight words are used the most. And in chapter 8, Jesus is going to really rebuke the disciples for their lack of being able to see after the partial healing of the blind man, which sounds funny, but we'll talk about what that means later on. And then in chapter 9, you've got the transfiguration. And what are you seeing, and what does that lead you towards, and those types of things. So anyway, very important word. And then man or person is used 56 times. You would kind of expect that, but particularly the fact of the way that Mark is portraying who is this man with Jesus. Do or make happen, and then it's actually tied for third, but the hear slash listen obey word. We mentioned again, hear is an idea used in every chapter of the book, but the hearing word that's used here in the original language is hearing or listening to, with kind of the understood part of that is that you're listening to follow, or listening to obey, or listening to respond.
It's like you're listening to instructions.
Yes, in a positive way.
There's an understanding that's kind of implied with it, and certainly that is appropriate because of what they're listening to. We talked about before that they're seeing the miracles, but they're hearing Jesus teaching. They're hearing his words. They're hearing what he has to say. And we already read some of the reactions that they have because of his teaching, that he's one who speaks with authority. It's a new teaching that, you know, they haven't heard anyone speak like him. Well, those are all results of them hearing Jesus and the teaching and what he has to say in all of those.
Yeah. And then we've got, and you can stop me if any of these strike you as something we need to talk about, but the word for to be able to or can, the Greek word is dunamai. And then the word for guide, the word for learn or disciple, 47 times. That's a pretty important one as well. How to take up your cross and follow me is the idea there that's really at the hub of all of this. An important one, I think, is at once or immediately. You're going to see that a lot connected with the miracles especially.
Yeah, that's a huge one because it, one of the things, especially when people discredit the miracles of Scripture and Jesus' miracles, is that, you know, well, he did that, and then a couple of days later he got better or something like that. But it makes an emphasis in that whatever Jesus does, immediately there's a response. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that's used with miracles in that, you know, he told him in Mark chapter 2 to take up your pallet and walk, and immediately he was healed. Mm-hmm. Immediately he stood up, you know. It's also true of the response. Jesus called some of the first disciples, and immediately they began to follow. So it's true of the miracles, but it's also used a lot to talk about an immediate response to the miracles and the teachings that Jesus had.
So another one that kind of goes along with, again, proving Jesus is 35 times, the number 10 word is the word for teach or teaching or teacher. And Jesus, of course, is teaching. He's the teacher. He's giving them doctrine, particularly in the second half of the book when he's trying to get them ready for that. Number 11 is the word for son, 34 times, and in particular, how it's used in reference to Jesus. 14 of those times, it's Son of Man, which is an Old Testament term that's used for the Messiah. Son of God is used 3 times, which is a messianic term, and Son of David is used 3 times. So not only is son an important word, but in particular, those 3 occurrences and how that it's used is very important. Then number 12, the word for king or kingdom, it's used 32 times. 14 of those times is in reference to the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's a big emphasis as well. I don't think we really covered it. Maybe I'm jumping ahead of what you're looking at. But one of the big themes, it tells us in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, we'll get there and talk more in detail when we reach that spot. But he says, this is what Jesus came preaching. He says, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. There's a huge, it goes along with the self-rule idea, in that the message that Jesus was communicating was, first, the time is fulfilled. Second, the kingdom of God is at hand. And that requires of us a twofold response in repenting and believing in the gospel. But that kingdom of God, and Jesus referring to kingdom, is going to be a big theme, because one of the big emphasis here is that we're letting go of ourself and self-rule, and we're accepting the kingship of the Lord and accepting that we belong to his kingdom. So his reign and his rule are going to be ones that are big emphasis here in the book with that word.
Yeah, we use the thing about the gospel as being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus from 1 Corinthians 15. But that's the good news that Jesus came preaching is what you showed there in verse 14 of chapter 1, that in Mark, it's that Jesus, his time for the Christ to come has now arrived, and this Messiah who's bringing this kingdom of God has come near. So you need to do what he says and follow him, and that's very, very important as well. And then believe or faith is used 26 times, and you can see how that would be important. Bring or carry is used 26 times. Again, going back to that key word there in chapter 8, the word follow, 32 times. There's actually three different words that are used, kind of, again, synonymous terms for follow, but you put them all together in 32 times. 20 times Lord, 16 times save, 10 times authority, 8 times gospel. I jumped over this one. Number 9 is the word for crowd or people, used 38 times. That's pretty important. And we already talked about number 16 word, that wish or want, with anyone who wishes, who desires that idea. So those ideas are all important in this book, this idea of what Mark's trying to impress upon them to get them to understand.
Yeah, it's going to be something that these are some key ideas that he really wants to push home, to push into their hearts, and is going to be a huge emphasis as the readers then and now have to come up with their own opinion and their own conclusion. That's the word I'm looking for, their conclusion of who Jesus is. So we'll start getting into the actual text tomorrow. We'll begin in Mark chapter 1 and start this study of this gospel, and we'll continue that tomorrow on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.